Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Terrifying Tales Talk. We are your hosts, Tyler, Sean.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hey.
And Rachel.
Hi.
I'll give Sean the most stars tonight for intro. Dwayne's a close second, too.
Cool. I'm glad we're rating intros.
Yes.
If I don't know if it's going to be a competition.
You'll know for next week. Tonight, yes, we're going to be talking about the awesome new Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft released by Wizards of the Coast last week. It's about, what's today, Thursday? 8 days old now, I think. Wow. As of the recording, not as of when you're listening to this. It's probably about 3 weeks old by then. However, it's still new and shiny either way.
Sean,
we've asked this question already on previous podcasts. I'm not going to ask again, what do you think about Ravenloft?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to ask, what do you think about Castlevania?
I think Castlevania is really awesome. I watched all four seasons. I played all the games. Castlevania is like my third favorite Nintendo series. So I will consume and devour all things Castlevania or Castlevania-like. Much like, what was it, Curse of the Moon or whatever that came out? Like,
yeah, that game's awesome too.
Yeah, that game's awesome. So, I mean, it's by the guy who made the Castlevania, Metroidvanias, just went off and did his own thing. So, yeah, down for it. I know the connection. Simon's Quest, the box art, is basically a ripoff of the module that is, I don't remember which one, but it's a ripoff of the Ravenloft module, so it's kind of awesome.
You are correct. That was my segue. You're a very wise man. We also asked Dwayne that same question, but you know who we didn't ask because she wasn't here at the time. Rachel, what do you think about Ravenloft?
I think it's really cool. I have not gotten a chance to play the setting as much as I would have liked, but I did read a lot of the old tie-in novels, like way back in the day, about Jander Sunstar, the vampire elf, Strahd, tons of
fun. What about Soth? Did you read about Soth? That's a good one. Black Rose?
Yes.
Yeah,
I even bought that one on my Kindle so I could read it again.
Hmm.
So on the endless shelf of deliciousness behind you, you got any 2E Ravenloft stuff hanging out?
I do not.
We'll correct that someday. I don't have my shelf either, but I do in a storage unit.
Yes, someday.
So, where to begin with this awesome book? Should we start at the beginning, Sean, or do you want to start somewhere weird and mix it up?
You know what? I feel like we should just, you know, start at the beginning, get to the ends, and then that way people can follow along at home with theirs. And, you know, yeah.
Maybe I'm going to be started. Go ahead.
I'm going to be a basic bitch and just say, like, yeah, let's go in order.
We haven't even started our journey into the creepy yet, and the ghosts have already snatched Dwayne and whisked him away. The mists have claimed him.
He's gone. Dwayne.
He is lost to us.
I blame Steve.
It's always Steve's fault.
Right.
Steve is the mists. That. So the book begins with character creation, to the shock of no one. It actually has lineages, which is a new concept for 5e, but not for fantasy in general, where it's a modular, they're not called subraces in D&D. What are they called in 5e?
Lineages.
That's what they're called in Ravenloft. But what were they called before in like the core book? Like if you were a high elf or a wood elf, there was a word for that. Was that subraces? Okay. Mm-hmm. Lineages are that, but they can go to any main race instead of just the specific one it's tied to. What were you going to say, Rachel?
Yeah. I also just want to point out, like, it doesn't necessarily start precisely with character creation, but it starts with some really good advice on how you make a character in a horror game, especially in a game that is supposed to have such a heroic emphasis on D&D. It's like, okay, this is a little different than what you might be used to, and here's how you make a character to suit the setting.
Hmm.
Yes, that is correct. And unlike a lot of books where it just talks to the GM about how to set it up, it talks to the players about how to participate to such a thing. So like usually in these books, it talks about how the GM can set the mood and the GM can do this, the GM can do that. This book actually starts out with, so you're the player, you have a part to play in that too. Don't ruin it, here's how. It's pretty cool. And it starts out talking about consent too, which is a new thing for 5e, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's all really good, really solid advice, and I am very pleased to see it added to official D&D canon, that this is now adding to that conversation.
I agree.
Yeah, I've noticed, Fallout's the one that I've been reading lately, and it had a whole section like consent, you know, how to act at the table, don't be adversarial sort of stuff. So that it's good to see that in a D&D book.
Yep. They tried to make this more diverse too as a setting than it has been in previous iterations. Primarily, it's not every domain lord's a guy. It wasn't before, but it's close. Still some work to be done in representation, but it's definitely better than it used to be, at least in my opinion, with 5e books. New lineages one can add are the Dampier, of course, which is part vampire. Hmm. The Hexblood, which is part hag.
Oh.
And the Reborn, which is undead, but not your typical, like, doomed to be a necromancer or a lich undead. This is more magic brought you back, and you can get real weird with it. So, like, you can have missing body parts that have ghostly versions that let you interact with the world and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, and I really like, as a Dampier, they need a chart for, you don't just have to feed on blood. You can also feed on cerebrospinal fluid, raw meat, dreams, or life energy.
Hmm. Yep. And the hex blood isn't all, hags are all evil, so, you know, they have charts too, in the same way where, why are you this way? Maybe it wasn't forced on you. Maybe that's just who your parents were. Maybe it's not hags. Maybe it's just fae, that sort of thing. Maybe angry druids did it. They all get, the Hexbloods get cool crowns too that are just part of their bodies, like Scarlet Witch in the new TV show version.
Oh, cool.
And then, of course, advice on how to connect it to the domains, because that's the main draw of this book, is instead of just focusing on Barovia, it is the entirety of the Domains of Dread.
Like all of them?
All the ones that fit the current iteration of D&D, even the ones that don't are mentioned, but some only briefly. So like Dragonlance specific, Dark Sun specific are in there, but they're just referenced. All the ones that there's a world for are there. And they even added one for Eberron.
Oh, neat.
It's a train. It's a ghost train that never stops.
Oh, well, that sounds awesome.
It's really cool. It's like that one Dark Tower book that takes almost entirely on a train.
Yeah.
And like the train also has a really cool plot use, in that it says that it travels between domains.
I was so about to say, can you,
your players?
Oh yeah, yeah, I was like, can you hop on, get to the train station? Like, okay, we're going to the cool, creepy train. Have tons of adventures. Wow, how about, that's one way. So you start in the level one area, you hop on the train, you level up your characters on just endless adventures in the train, and then you get to the next area and you're at level for your next adventure. That'd be kind of cool.
There are a few things that work for that in the new version of Ravenloft, where you can potentially bypass closed domain borders. The train is one of them. There's a couple others too, where even if the Dark Lord closes the domain, you can get through. There's a traveling carnival that does the same thing. That used to exist, but it's updated to the new version. And then they have Mistwalkers, like people and beings and players can have the ability with special trinkets or abilities to move through the mists. That's less safe than the train or the circus, though. And then after lineages, they have dark gifts. It's always been a thing in previous editions, but they actually list some in this one, which is nice. By some, I mean quite a few. They're meant to be handed out at character creation, but you can get them later. And it talks about how you can get them without being evil, without having to be on your way to being a Dark Lord. In a place like Ravenloft, sometimes you're backed into a corner and you got to do what you got to do to survive or keep your family alive. In the game we're going to start up this Friday, I think everyone but Dwayne chose to have one. There are six of them, and I was like, three of you need to pick it. And within 2 minutes, five of them messaged me, including Rachel.
That sounds right.
Dark gifts are cool.
That's right.
God, I can only imagine playing an Eldritch Horror game with Rachel. I'm like, oh, I pulled the Dark Pact card. Great, great. By choice. Oh, great. Even double great.
I would totally do that. And like, cool thing, because we're doing the Ravenloft show on Friday. So I'm building my character, and like the dark gift and the lineage and the background, like they all work really well together.
I agree. It all merges very well. We only have a couple subclasses in this one, both of which you've seen in UA if you keep up with 5e UA. the College of Spirits for the Bard and the Undead Patron for the Warlock, which does not mean you become undead like the one we built or the one that exists in Scarred Lands. This means one of the powerful undead Dark Lords is your patron, which is a fun idea.
Hmm.
Yeah, it lists possibilities. And then new backgrounds, full backgrounds, and also a background special powers you can attach to existing backgrounds. And last but not least, an endless list of horror trinkets, because everybody starts with trinkets in 5e. And then there's a whole chapter dedicated to creating domains, which is nice. The people who did the 3.5 version of Ravenloft, that was the OGL era. I don't know if it was Monty Cook or one of those guys, but somebody actually wrote endless supplements. They did this, and I'm glad to see Wizards of the Coast picked up on it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
This seems to be very open-ended, customize all your stuff, sort of D&D. I think it's where they're starting with this book, which is cool.
Yeah, I have a friend who runs Curse of Strahd professionally as a side gig, and he really enjoys it. And so he picked up this book, and he's commenting on Twitter how, you know, this book is the first thing that really makes him feel inspired to write his own content and to come up with his own domain. And so I think that's also really cool in that, you know, they're moving a little bit away from published modules. Here's how it goes. Here's how you can make it a little different to here's how you write your own.
Yeah. They understood this is a sandbox setting, and they wrote this as a book for a sandbox setting. And then after advice on how to create domains and Dark Lords, genres of horror and how to use them in Ravenloft, with more talk of consent, which is good because they touch on all of them. I was happy to see, I'm sure Rachel was too, that folk horror was mentioned. You don't see that a lot when talking about horror genres.
What's a folk horror?
Folk horror.
Yeah.
Oh, folklore. Got it.
Folk horror. So like, you know, a guy who gets paralyzed and put in a bear suit, for instance, Sean.
Nope.
Or like the Jersey Devil or the Mothman.
Cool.
For those who don't know, we are referencing a movie. Sean's not favorite movie.
No, I hate that movie.
enlighten them with the name of the movie so they can go watch it.
What is that one? Somerset? No, Midsommar. Midsommar. Yeah.
That's it.
It's by the same guy who did Hereditary, so good times.
I keep meaning to see that.
Wait, you haven't seen Hereditary, you mean?
I haven't seen either of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sean, you must.
I've been too busy streaming with you.
Sean, you must regale both the audience and Rachel with your story, A Hereditary in the Theater.
I mean, it kind of ruins. I mean, do you care about like sort of minor, major spoilers, Rachel? Otherwise, I can't tell the story.
No, that's fine. Go for it. I guess Okay. Give listeners a heads up. Spoilers ahoy. Right.
Spoilers ahoy. If you haven't
only seen for Hereditary. About 60 seconds.
So the whole thing just sort of ramps up into this weird, you get, there are inklings of a cult basically, and you're not quite sure what's going on. You know, a cult's involved. This family's getting fucked up. Mom's going crazy. And so the son, who's kind of center of the whole story, gets up in the attic. Now, me and Steve used to go to a movie theater at an old burned out mall that was slowly dying, which is like cheap. So everybody goes there. And it was a packed theater. Me and Steve are sitting in the front row, like craning our necks. And not this is a bad thing or not that this means anything, but I think Steve and I were like the only white people in the audience. So it was really fun because everybody's just like really into the movie, more than just like, you know, boring ass white people just eating their popcorn. So we're watching it, and the kid goes up in the attic, and out of fucking nowhere, it does the shot, and there's just like four or five white people just standing in a corner all naked and being all culty like. And then this one girl behind us goes, "Oh my God, naked white people." Like, as that was the scariest thing in the entire movie. And they weren't wrong, because naked white people with their like flabby and whiteness was just flabby. Just dangle bits, just yeah, old cultists, just sort of like naked for absolutely no reason. Put some pants on, sir. Or if you don't like pants, put a towel on or something.
Robe. The theater too.
Forward.
Yeah.
Like, you join a cult so you can get naked.
That's true. Fine. It's That's true. Fine. I'm just gonna say that you need to have some respective nakedness. Like, you just can't show up out of nowhere and just be like naked. Like, you gotta like lead, you gotta give some warning that nakedness is gonna happen. You can't just start whipping things out and just like, yeah, it's naked time. Like, no, 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 sir.
We're pretty sure. Pretty sure, because that was our personal meme for like a year, that like 100 people from that theater just walked around for a year going, oh my God, naked white people.
Yes. Oh my God, naked white people. Just, it was the best. What were we talking about? Hereditary. Yes.
Folk horror.
Folk horror. Yes. Folk horror. I understand what the word is now that you're saying. So I, does that mean like the thing is real and it's just sort of the boogeyman, but the boogeyman actually exists, or is there the possibility that it just doesn't exist? I guess it's up to the GM, I suppose, at that point, right?
The book addresses it both ways, both if it's a real creature or if it's simply the real evil is the believers, which is more of a, which is, you know, it talks both about Headless Horseman Jersey Devil version and Midsummer version, where it's just the people being terrifying.
Yeah.
And some domains reflect that both ways too.
Hmm.
Which is the next part of the book where it starts talking about the domains. And since you asked, they have full write-ups, which in this case means 3 to 5 pages, I think, for each. Still lots of room for elaboration. There's been entire books written about individual domains in the past. But for the purposes of this book, full write-ups on Barovia, Blewett Spur, that's where the mind flayers are. And think about that for a minute too. What does it take for an elder brain to get the attention of the dark powers compared to all the other elder brains? What is evil compared to other mind flayers? Orca.
I feel like that one's just like specifically eating children brains, or like just, you know, personally like having kittens be born and just smashing them and popping their brains. Like, yeah, I feel like that's, wow.
Yeah. And if you want to know the answer to that question, get the book and check it out. It tells you what the story is.
Oh, it tells you how awful this thing is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
All the domains talk about the Dark Lord and why they're the Dark Lord, and gives stats in the form of, here's a template from a monster supplementer from this book that you can follow, plus add these powers. And then, of course, they're Dark Lords, so they always come back. Even if you kill them, they come back.
Hmm.
I also like how it tags it by genre of horror. So,
yes,
there is tagged specifically cosmic horror. So, you know, if you're in a mood to run this genre or that, it's easy to find one that works.
Yes, I agree. And has a very good breakdown on the mists and how to use them, too, beyond just the, yeah, just say creepy mist appears and steals them. Like, it's got a whole mechanic to it and how you can make it moody, which I'm going to use on Friday. It also talks about the people, how they work, which has been touched on in previous editions, but not as thoroughly, I think, as in this one. And for your reference, Sean, most of the people in Ravenloft are constructs. They don't have souls. Like, they exist. They live, they die. They don't know they have souls. They think they're normal people like everyone else. But the dark powers create them for the evil, twisted amusement and or torture of the Dark Lords. Hmm. Only the some are born with souls, and those are the ones that become the heroes, the player heroes, if you're native to Ravenloft, or like the named characters, Van Richten, Tatiana, all the people that end up being heroes, heroines, and sometimes supervillains. But the vast majority of beings there are soulless, die, reborn, come back endlessly. The dark powers are not good. It is debatable whether it's a prison. But yeah, after Blue Spur, it has Borka, the Carnival, Darkon, Deventliu. You might not regret it, might not recognize these names, but a lot of people will. Falkovnia, Harakir. I also will mention they took the stereotypes off Harakir, and I approved of that. It's not just the mummy lord was cringy stereotype back in 2E, it no longer is. Haslan, Ickith, which they did a good job pulling stereotypes off that realm too, because that's Chinese. Wait, is that Chinese, Rachel, or Japanese? Pretty sure that one's Chinese. Ikath or Ickith, the one with Xian Qing. Pretty sure that's Chinese, but I don't want to mess that up.
Just going off the name Xian Qing, I'd say Chinese, although
the art leans that way too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the art is very Chinese.
Yeah. Just like double check, I would ask Dwayne, but we lost him. The mists claimed him. And then it has Palakari, Cardicus, Lamordia, Mordant, Rishmalo, Tepisht, Valakon. And then after that, we start breaking down into ones where they get like a couple paragraphs or sometimes just a word. And they start with Seer 1313, the morning rail. Morning as in M-O-U-R, so you did it there. That's your creepy Eberron train.
Nice.
I dig. And they also They also mentioned Forlorn.
Oh, I bet you that has connections to the Mournland. Oh, wow. That,
yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
And then it has Forlorn, Gastria, Gehenna, Invidia, Keening, Clore, Markovia, the Nightmare Lands. That one's fun. Nightmare Lands is literally the Dark Lord's nightmares that you get trapped in. Niranjan, Nova Vasa, Odair. My players from before Vorpal Tales will always remember that name. That's the one where Pinocchio is evil. It's the Dark Lord. The Rider's Bridge, that's Headless Horseman. Recibelas, Shayna, Sea of Sorrows. That's your ghost pirate, Sean. It's there. The Shadowlands.
Cool.
I don't know how to say Sirogni. Sirogni? How would you say that, Rachel?
It looks vaguely French, so I would say Serene.
Serene. That sounds better to me. Staunton Bluffs, Tovog, the Vaj Detective Agency, and Zerusia. Are there any of those you specifically want to talk about, Rachel, that you like or that caught your eye?
I mean, I'm always in the mood for a good detective story, so Vaj definitely caught my eye.
Now, that one's a fun one, Sean, where you go in there and the agency will actually hire you to investigate occult mysteries and even rescue people. But the person who owns the detective agency is the Dark Lord of, like, the building.
Wait, so he wants you to rescue people? Oh, okay. They want you to rescue people for reasons?
Well, if you dig into it, you'll find out after doing a few missions for the agency that the person who owns the agency is the one causing all the occult mishaps and murdering people and kidnapping people.
Oh, so they're, so wait, so is the secular torture just to cause events and then hire people to fix these events and then just do it again?
That's what happens, but with these smaller domains, it doesn't necessarily tell you why. It lets you use your imagination to decide,
oh, I see.
Why is this Dark Lord being tortured? What's the catch here?
Wow.
Weird. Yeah. And then it goes into talking about traveling in the mists, groups that can do it relatively safely, and individuals. And then it lists all the famous fun people that everyone knows. But it does talk about the Keepers of the Feather, the Vistani, and some other groups that can safely traverse the mists. And then it picks up on the heroes of Ravenloft, which I'm pretty sure they got all the ones I remember. Alan McRae and Arthur Sedgwick, which is Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, but creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The Caller, Erasmus Van Richten, which is Rudolf Van Richten's dead son. Rudolf Van Richten's in here, of course, with his curse. Ez D'Avenir, Fearon, Jander Sunstar, Rachel was talking about, Larissa Snowmane, the Weathermay Foxgrove twins. Yeah, all the famous people would recognize from the stories. And then chapter 4 is all about how to create and run a horror game, including how to use the Ravenloft Taroka deck and Ouija boards.
Mm.
Don't forget to close your Ouija board, kids, or you'll be in every horror movie ever. And then it actually talks about... Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, so my Wednesday night D&D game. We are coming back after a long break. We're all like level 15, 16. There's an evil elf god who's coming back, and one of the options that has been presented would be lure him into one of the Dread Realms.
Oh my.
There.
That's a hell of a, wow, okay.
I really, really hope we pick this option because I really want to be playing a drow paladin in the Dark Realms.
That can only go well for you, for your character.
This is fine.
I mean, she lost her faith in Lolth like 20 years ago. She's been spending the rest of her time as like, she ascended to Matron Mother, she's rebuilding Mensa Parenzen, and just, you know, doing it without Lolth because she sucks.
I mean, that's a fair assessment.
Still a paladin, though.
Somehow, secretly getting your powers on the sly from Ariastrally.
It is that she has transferred her faith to the Drow people as a whole.
Oh, that's a cool concept.
Yeah, I always liked not having a religious
philosophies
character.
And ideals.
Yeah, philosophies and ideals rather than, you know, because I always hate being beholden to a god. So it's like, I get my faith from, you know, whatever.
Right.
Tacos.
Not a singular entity that always ends up being fallible.
Right, yeah, because it's just like, oh, another god, yay. What are you fucking up today? Just oh, you have a laundry list. I get it. Okay, you're obviously busy. I'll come back.
Uncannily accurate in most myth.
Right?
And then, of course, it brings back all the old favorites, including fear and stress they will be using, because that's the best part of Ravenloft, right? Horror checks. It has a big section on haunted traps, too, and then it has an intro adventure that is, of course, a haunted house. And then a beast year. And at the very end, do your own Ouija board. My favorite part. It looks really cool, though. I kind of want this in burned into some wood. It's got a lot of ravens. I dig ravens.
Oh, this looks amazing.
Right?
This is really good art.
Yeah. I want a real spirit board of that. Get someone to etch it to some cherry or something. Oak.
You like oak?
Then we can summon Chad and send him back to Sean's house. Anyways.
Don't do that.
For those curious, Hovag does still exist. However, they took Vecna out and left Kaz. Kaz the vampire is still trapped. Thinks he's fighting Vecna forever, but Vecna is no longer in Ravenloft. Also, post this book is written post all the things that happened in 2E Ravenloft, because 2E Ravenloft had metaplot, and it all led up to a massive, I don't even know what it was, 6-8 part series, like 6 or 8 modules. It was an entire 1-20 campaign with Azalin the Lich breaking Ravenloft by forcing a prophecy to come true so he could escape. And it just kind of stopped where he made the Grand Conjunction happen. The whole thing broke apart. Weird shit happened. He disappeared. And they're like, and we're done. Welcome to 3E. So this picks up from there. And it handles it nicely because instead of telling you the metaplot, it says, here's Darkon. Here's what's happening. Here's a bunch of ideas. Figure it out, kid. Go. It does not tell you what's actually happening. It just gives you ideas.
Interesting.
Yep.
I really like that. I really like when games are like, we trust you to make a cool and interesting decision. We're just going to give you some guidance on that.
Yeah. I love that. Sandbox method is best method.
Yeah. I like that too. Because then, you know, not everybody gets hung up on the meta and the sort of lore of things. You can actually just have... It gives some good mystery to the players. So like, you know, most players go and read books and then it's like, okay, well, this is different this time because it's not written down anywhere. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. I don't think if there's any domains missing that weren't at least referenced. And like I said, the ones from Dragonlance and Dark Sun are referenced. There's a realm where it's a really weird domain. I don't know if it's new or not. I didn't recognize it. Where there's like a black hole and all these islands of land are getting sucked into the black hole and they all move at a specific amount of time and distance each cycle. So it's like a clockwork black hole. And a lot of the broken failed domains are there getting sucked in. Including Soth's domain and Dragonlance.
Wow.
I mean, that kind of gives me hope that maybe we will see a little more Dragonlance and or Dark Sun down the road.
The rumors are very heavy that Dragonlance is next.
Yeah, there was a whole lawsuit thing that happened, but that was dropped, and it sounds like they're going to start writing it again. So, yeah, I think the cat's out of the bag on that one, where Dragonlance is coming.
Yeah, because at first it was just talk and rumors, but now people that do Dragonlance, some exclusively, are suddenly on Wizards payroll again. And they also had Casey Hicks wrote a short story or a short story collection, or like there's fiction coming suddenly for no reason. Hint, hint. Like, we haven't seen new Dragonlance novels in forever, and now all of a sudden they're commissioning them. That tells you a lot right there.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah. We need some Dragonlance. That is the only romantic fantasy setting that gets my attention, John.
Dragonlance, take it or leave it. It's not my favorite.
They have the best dragons, though.
Their dragon system is pretty cool, and if you're interested in, like, restrictive magic, their schools are kind of... It's like Harry Potter magic before Harry Potter magic, more or less. But they're different schools and stuff, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, they're dragon. Just the fact that their gods are the dragons are just kind of amazing. So they get points for that.
I imagine it won't be restrictive, because that's another point about Ravenloft. Is it used to be the sinkhole of evil effect is what they called it, where like some spells didn't work at all. Some spells, depending on where you were in the domain, worked differently. Some caused wild magic surges. Some didn't work right. They took all that out in the Ravenloft book. They still handle it with some, like, you can do wild magic surges here and there. And in some places, the domain lord has, like, a crazy amount of counterspell or, you know, anti-magic fields. But they don't have any, the player can't do a thing anymore. So I imagine when they do Dragonlance, that'll be a thing, too. It won't be your magic fails if you can't see the right moon. It'll probably be... When your moon is ascendant, you get a bonus.
Yeah, that's very fifth edition, where the player is always enabled and Yeah, I like that. I actually like that as a game mechanic, because I think one of the worst things you can do is have a player make it to level 15 and get that thing, and then have a GM go, you can't use that thing because reasons. Like, then why?
I was looking through some funny you mentioned that, because I was reading through old 2E Ravenloft modules for the game we're going to run. Mm-hmm. And three of them I tossed. I mean, physically tossed, but like digitally tossed, because I forgot about that in 2E, where you open the module and it's like, level 15, how do you control your players? You just make it so they can't cast spells anymore.
What? Right. No. Yeah, what? No.
We have grown out of that. Like, I accepted it then, but now it actually shocks me. We have matured as gamers.
Yeah, I don't want to be judgmental and say, like, be a better GM, but I don't know any other way to say it. Like, get creative with the reasons why something may or may not work, or just have it work, but it works in really fucked up ways that just like, oh God, what did I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably worth pointing out that when those were written, the relationship between the GM and the players were, I don't want to say antagonistic.
But no, you can say adversarial, antagonistic. Yeah. That was pretty big in the early days. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so there was this idea that, you know, the GM would present you with the problems and with the plot, and, you know, would totally kill your character if you gave them an opening, and it was your job to sort of defeat your GM, essentially.
Right, anyway,
yeah.
I hate that.
I like how modern game design thought is like, no, everybody is working together. You should not be working against each other. So
we're all at the table telling a story, you know. I've always believed in, like, player death should only happen unless the story dictates that it should happen. Like, at that point, like, dumb deaths or just silly deaths, just like cripple them and just, you know, lay them up for 3 months or something like that. Don't kill them. Let them have heroic deaths. Enter the Vows of all.
Yeah, that's why I like the 5e death save system so much, because you have like several rounds for someone to get to you and bring you out of dying, and, you know, it's sort of waited for you making your death saves. So I really like that, because it also like really ratchets up the tension, because, oh my god, my character's dying, I need to make a death save, oh no. And so it builds tension in a really cool way, but then it's also weighted towards your character will make it through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's another interesting thing they took out that used to be a hallmark of Ravenloft. Some people liked it, some hated it. They have introduced common. Previously, there was no common tongue in Ravenloft. You had, you know, Barovian was the most commonly spoken language, but every realm had its own language, and they still do in this version, and there was no quote-unquote common. So that was an interesting, I don't know if you'd call it a role-playing aid or detriment, but it's gone now.
No, I think that's another one of those like clunky mechanical things that I feel just like a really adversarial GM's gonna do. Like, oh, you can't talk to anybody, so haha, have fun.
I was in a game like that. It sucked. I couldn't do anything.
Oh, okay, so I cast the magic spell where I can actually, nope, can't do that, magic's dead here. Okay, cool.
And it was really cool too, because our characters, this was a D&D second edition, our characters had to go to this mysterious city where there was like this magic MacGuffin at the top of like the tallest building in the world that we had to go get. With spoilers, it was New York City. And I think the worst call the GM made was that none of us could speak English except the one guy who had comprehend languages. So there's all these cool things for, like, I think I was playing a druid or maybe a rogue that like I couldn't interact with as much as I wanted to be like, what's that? Who the fuck are you? What are you selling? Can I have one? It smells great. Yeah, yeah. It's frustrating when you can't talk to anybody,
which, you know, the alienness of it is the point, but again, I don't like when it completely hinders the characters. The way I've always done Ravenloft is everyone can speak Barovian, which is common, but each realm does have its own language, so when they start talking to each other in their own language, then you got to get all like, oh, are they talking about me, what's going on? But you can still communicate with them. That's how it's going to work in this game for Fridays.
That's good, because that also builds the paranoia of, you know, what are they saying about me? Why did they suddenly switch languages?
Mm-hmm.
And you're all going to be natives too, so some of you may be able to actually understand it, so you'll have somewhat of an edge, depending on what domain I drop you in. You're all going to be natives of Ravenloft with souls. You poor, poor things.
Hmm.
It also goes, like I said earlier, talking about the mists, should always begin and end with the mists when talking about Ravenloft. It does a lot better job than some previous editions on explaining how people relate to the mists too. Because like I said, a lot of the people in Ravenloft are constructs, but not like sentient constructs, I guess. They don't acknowledge that there's anything beyond the mists. Because every domain, it's not like going from Michigan to Ohio or Florida to Georgia. Florida is all that exists. You've heard rumors there might be something out there somewhere, but you don't go find out, because why would you? This is where you live. This is home. And even if someone does like try dragging you, kicking and screaming towards the exit of Florida, you're going to tell them they're insane, because as soon as they go into the mist, someone's going to eat their face. No one goes into the mist. What are you, stupid?
I just want to point out that I now have you on recording saying Florida is all that exists.
Yes, in a horror setting where Florida's the worst thing ever because it's ruled by a dark lord of evil, or Florida is all that exists.
I mean, I can still
use that. Is any of that inaccurate?
I can still use that.
I don't think so.
Florida man!
You have Florida man in the mists, and you have a dark lord ruling your domain right now.
Yeah, this just got real.
I mean, I wholeheartedly agree from 3,000 miles safely away.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Only I'm only 2,000 miles safely away. I'm a little scared now.
Not safe enough.
So it's coming for you first. I have time.
And I think that's a good place to stop. We started talking about the mists, and we can stop talking about the mists.
Gasp.
Anybody got any last comments about Ravenloft or the new fancy book?
No. Just that it's always felt real special to me that it has that Castlevania link. So I dig that.
It's always been my favorite 5e setting. There's close seconds, but it's always number one.
I like it because it's different than your typical high fantasy thing. Like it's got a gimmick, it's got a trick. So I like gimmicks and tricks, and I'm down for that.
Rachel?
I really like how this book is takes a toolbox approach. Like, here's how you can do it yourself. I like that. I like that they respect the intelligence and the talent of their customer base. Like, not that they didn't before, but now they're like, okay, you've been playing this game, you've been playing our modules for years and years. You're ready to take the next step and start designing cool stuff on your own.
I think that's my favorite thing about the new book too. I wholeheartedly agree. Some people might say, but these huge domains only get 4 or 5 pages. Yeah, because you can make up the rest now. You don't need 50 pages to tell you exactly how it works. You do it.
It's very cool.
And if you want to see it in play, come check out our show on Fridays. And then in the fall on Thursdays.
Oh yeah, like one more thing. The whole chapter about running horror, like you could apply that to anything. Like there's a little bit about Taraka, which is Ravenloft specific. But it's like, here's how you run a horror game. Here's how you ratchet up the tension. Here's haunted traps, here's curses, here's fear and stress. That's all really cool.
Yeah, there's stuff in here you could carry across to even not fantasy games. Absolutely. You can tell that some people, Rachel and I, think are cool as freelancers wrote some of this book. their signature style is here.
Yes, it's really nice to see.
And hopefully, the mist will give us back Duane, perhaps once he's confronted Strahd and defeated him. Maybe he'll come back as a Dark Lord.
Want you to do all on your own.
Yeah.
But Duane could do it.
Duane will be fine.
Based on his Zoom image, thought he was a Dark Lord already.
And on that note, dear audience, we'll leave you until next week. But not quite, because hey, Sean.
Oh, fuck me. I forgot. We haven't done one of these in a while. Okay. What, Tyler? What?
Why did the skeleton skip the Halloween party, Sean?
It didn't want to get abandoned, or it got abandoned. I don't know.
He had nobody to go with.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, God.
We'll see you next time, audience. Good night.
I hate my life.